So as I've said, walking with God should be the desire of all of us. But today, as we look on this final lesson in the series, what does it mean? And what are the implications and relevance to us in this business of walking with God? What are some of the ideas that God has in mind in this statement from Enoch? You know, the Bible in the book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4 says, whatever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. So when the Almighty God commissioned Moses to write in the book of Genesis, chapter 5 and verse 22, that Enoch walked with God, that God wanted that recorded, meant that God hoped that we would learn something from that. So what does it mean? First, to walk with God implies both desire and effort. Did I hear somebody say, repeat that, Brother Mitchell? Thank you for asking. To walk with God implies not only a desire to walk with God or to have fellowship with God, it also implies that one will put out the effort to walk with God. So Enoch walked with God. That was not just a desire, a thought in Esau, in Enoch. Enoch put out the effort to walk with God. The wanting to, that is the desire, is very important. I want to spend a few minutes on this desire to walk. In fact, to do anything in regard to God. Worship. Do you just simply force yourself, or do you want to worship God? I'm not talking about that it is important to you or to me. Yes, it is. What I'm trying to help us understand is that, as the Bible is going to show us in a few minutes, the Almighty God wants us to have the desire. This wanting to, this yearning for, is important to God. Wait, let me illustrate it. It's one thing for somebody to do something for you or me. When you know that the person enjoys doing it, it takes a meaning. Amen. That's right. It takes a meaning. So remember, you know, I'm coming from that the walking with God implies not only a desire, it implies effort. But right now, I'm dealing with the desire, that this wanting to, this willingness to please God is key to getting God's assistance. Can we have one or two? In fact, there are some six passages I have to share with you on this point. But because I'm going to strive to finish this lesson today, I may not get to all of them. Brother Mitchell, you just said something again. Said the wanting to, The willingness to please God is the key, is the very foundation. It's the very driving force to getting God's help and God's assistance. First, let us look to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, a passage you well know. Quick, brother. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Blessed are they, that what?
Which do hunger and thirst after righteousness.
That is talking about wanting. That is talking about desire. That is talking about yearning for. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed is the man or the woman who really want to please God, want to walk close to God, want to do the things that are pleasing to God. They shall be
filled.
They shall be filled is bringing in our God's part, Christ's part. When you and I really want to and put out the desire to, the Almighty God will come in and help. Look at 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. Quick. You know, the temptation is to share as many of these passages with desire with you, but I'll be sharing only a few because we need to move on. 1 Chronicles, I said, verse 28, verse 9.
And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind.
What type of mind?
A willing mind.
That is a mind that wants to.
That's right.
We all get it? Look at Nehemiah, the passage that was read today, Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6.
So built we the walls.
So built we the wall.
And all the wall was joined together unto the half.
And all the wall was joined together to half the height thereof. Wait, this is talking about when the Israelites return, these tribes return to their own land, and Nehemiah got permission for them to rebuild the wall. Notice how it was accomplished. And half the height was, we built the wall to half the height thereof. Watch here now.
For the people had a mind to work.
Read that again.
For the people had a mind to work.
Do you know that that has application for us in the church today?
Amen.
For the people had a mind to work. This statement is telling you why they were successful in bringing the height of the wall to where it was.
Right.
They had a mind to work. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? They were willing, they wanted to work for God.
That's right.
But look at Jesus' word in St. John 7:17. St. John 7:17.
If any man will.
Wait. The word will there in the passage mean wanting to or willing to. Jesus Christ is speaking. If any man will to.
Do his will.
Wait. If any man will to do his will. If any man or woman is willing to do his will.
he shall know of the doctrine.
Everybody gets it? I wonder if you get what that passage is. You need to get it. Jesus Christ is saying, you and I will study the Bible from now until thy kingdom come. And your problem in understanding it. But if you are studying the Bible to understand the will of God to serve him, watch here. God himself will assist you in understanding it.
That's right.
You see, what the passage is teaching, God works with the wanting to. Wait, notice again. If any man will, that is, if any man, and it doesn't mean may, it means any human being, wants, the word will, you see, if any man will to do his will, if any man wants to do his will, if this is your desire, if this is your longing, if you're sincere about pleasing God and you want to understand his will, Jesus Christ said, you shall know the doctrine, which means you will understand it. Why? God will assist you in understanding. But God is looking for this wanting to, this willingness. Are we all there? I'm tempted to give you one or two more passages, but let me go on. Willingness to do create the ability and the opportunity to do. This statement relates to the lesson that we are dealing with on Sunday night. One lesson has been delivered already about commitment. And you know, country people, well, Jamaican have a phrase, while there is a will, there is a way. That's what the Bible is teaching. If you have a willingness, a wanting to, a desire to serve God, and you will put out the effort that you have in you, the Almighty God will meet you the rest of the way. Walking with God. These words describe, are we all there? Let's read it again. Quick, run to the passage of Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22.
And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. And begot sons and daughters.
Okay? Walking with God. These words, walking with God, it describes a life of singular God focus and constant intercourse with the personal God. Brother Mitchell, what do you mean by the personal God? Well, let me repeat what I've just said first and explain that. The statement about this man walking with God, it is telling us, it indicates a life that was one-track minded. Singular, God focus, constant intercourse or talking with a personal God. You see, God might not be personal to some people. Explain, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking me. For many people, God is so far, country people say far. God is something way out there that we can do what we want to do, and God no care We can think what we want to think, and God doesn't care. That's why sometimes, you know, because God is so far and impersonal, that sometimes when we pray, we really pray like God is far. You go to country church sometimes and listen to people pray, God Almighty! You know, it's like God is far. They don't realize that God is close. And God is personal. You see, do you know there's a difference between talking to a person on the phone, which is somewhat impersonal, and talking to a person face to face? Wait, you see? For Enoch, this walking with God implied that for Enoch, God was right here with him. God was personal. He could go to God with his needs, his challenges, and God would deal with me. So that's the idea of walking with God. It implies that here's a man whose life and conduct was God-focused. There was a constant fellowship, intercourse with the personal God. Wait, the word walking with God imply a relationship of nearness. Nearness. Are we all there? Nearness to God and a character of likeness to God. It's not only a relationship of nearness to God, but a life or character of nearness to the Almighty God. Look, I'm going to bring that passage up. I was about to bring it in respect to the statement that I've just made about a life that represents a relationship that represents nearness to God and a character of likeness to God. I want to bring in Amos, but that is coming up in a few minutes. May I? You must not miss this now. You should not have missed anything that is said previously in this lesson. But you make sure you get this. Among the first imperative, we talk about imperative, we talk about that which is must. So among the first imperative prerequisite that tells or that is implied in the statement Enoch walked with God, among the first thing that is a must, it is required before one can have a walk with God, is reconciliation. Wait. Let me repeat that. Among the first imperative prerequisite, that is among the first thing, that is a must, that it must be there before there can be a walk with God, not just for Enoch, but for any man or woman, is reconciliation. The important divine question in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 tells us a little more about this imperative of reconciliation before there can be any walk with God. Let us hear Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Let us hear.
Can two walk together except they agree?
Somebody didn't hear that, brother. Somebody said, where is that found, Brother Mitchell? It's found in the book of Amos. You have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Uzziah, Amos, somewhere about here. So you'll travel from Psalms to Proverbs to Ecclesiastes to Isaiah. Of course, Ecclesiastes, Sons of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Isaiah, and then after Isaiah, take time travel. You will run into Amos. You don't want to pass him. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, the brother is going to read again.
Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Are we not looking on Amos walking with God? Yes. But here, the Almighty God asks through his prophet, Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no, you cannot walk unless there is agreement.
That's right, that's right.
Brother Mitchell, where then does reconciliation comes in? You see, without reconciliation, there can be no walk with God.
Amen.
Wait. There is a gap between man and God. You have God over here, and you have man over here. You see this? There is a gap. What created that gap, Brother Mitchell? Sin.
That's right.
Wait. Everybody today have God on their side. That's what people think, you know. Everybody. I know God is with me. I mean, you go there and if you ask 20 people, at least 15, will tell you that they know God is with them, God walk with them, God is with them every day and what God is doing. That is just wishful thinking. Wait, it is the Almighty God who determines whether he walks with us or not. It's not because we want, because a lot of times we want God to walk with us, but we are not willing to do what is required for him to walk with us. The question is asked, can two walk
together
except
they agree?
No, they can't. And this is why reconciliation is absolutely important. Without reconciliation, there can be no walk with fellowship with God. Are we all there? Look at Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, to show that reconciliation is absolutely first necessary. And when we read in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 and verse 22 that Enoch walked with God, it is implying that first there had to be reconciliation. Enoch first had to be reconciled to God because there is a gap. There is a schism parting them, the passage that is about to be read. Did I say Isaiah
59
and verse 1 and 2?
Yes, sir.
Let us hear it.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save.
God's hand is not shortened, that it cannot say?
Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot
God
hear.
God was not suffering from a hearing problem. Brother Mitchell, why did the prophet write that? Thank you for asking. Because the Israelites were praying to God and God was not responsive. The Israelites were looking to God for some response, but it's like God was near. So they began to wonder. I wonder if God get it. Old and weak. God says, no, I'll never get old. My hands are still strong. They began to wonder, I wonder if God is suffering from hard of hearingness, ear impairment. God said, no, that's not the problem. Well, what is it? Our prayers are not being answered. Read, brother.
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Everybody hear that? But wait, wait, I need to correct something right here. Iniquity is not obia. Because Jamaican have obiarism and witchcraft and superstition, so superstitiousness, so much in their mind that somewhere, somebody, years ago, the iniquity means. Well, I think where it comes from is that when in country, rural Jamaica, people still believe in Obia. People work of their country, people always refer to it as iniquity. The word iniquity refers to sin. The Bible here says your iniquity that is the problem. So this is why there has to be reconciliation. You see, sin far away from us. And we have to give God a chance to deal with our sin in Jesus Christ. So this is why walking with God. In fact, look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Look at 1 John 1, 6 and 7.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie.
May I? Walking in darkness means you are living a life that is not guided by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. You are living a life of sinfulness, ungodliness, disobedience. So don't go telling yourself, God is with me, when you have not yet even obeyed the gospel of Christ. Read on, brother.
And do not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But if we walk in the light.
What is walking in the light? Being, living by the gospel of Christ.
That's right.
Living by the word of God. Read on.
As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Uh-huh.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us.
You see how you get cleansing? Huh? Wait, wait, wait. And the word cleansing there is the present continuous tense. It really means continues to cleanse us.
That's right.
When you are in the light, when you are, your life is guided by the word of God. But when we live our own selfish, again I come back, everybody want to claim God slept with them last night. And God is with them, they know it. You cannot know that which God doesn't know. And for God, walking with him means you will come to him for him to first deal with your sin in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Are we all there? Brothers and sisters, walking with God supposes, walking with God supposes agreement. It supposes harmony. It supposes consensus. Walking with God supposes solidarity. There must be a solidarity. There must be a consensus. There must be agreement between you and God before there can be any walking with God. This was so with Enoch, and it must be so with us. As I said, there is enmity. There is variance between man and God today men and women who do not come to Jesus Christ, the gospel way for forgiveness of sin. Notice, very important, hold me, 2 Corinthians, brother, chapter 5. Notice this, very important that you notice this. It was not God who reconciled or conformed to Enoch. It was not the Almighty God who reconciled or conformed himself to Enoch. It had to be Enoch who reconciled or conformed himself to God. Because it was Enoch's sin that in the first place separated him from God. And it is the same with us. The reconciliation must be done by you. You must come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for fellowship. Because it is your disobedience and selfish ways and sin that separate you. Look at the passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. Following.
To wit. That God was in Christ.
God was in Jesus Christ.
Reconciling the world unto himself.
You notice, here, I put man over you. You see, God wants man to come back to him. God was in Jesus Christ bringing the world back to himself. It's not God was in Christ bringing him so much to man, because God has always been what he will always be. But man has been spoiled by sin. You are not finished, brother reader?
Not imputing their trespasses unto them.
Wait, you see, trespasses, which is sin, is the problem. That's why there's need to be forgiveness and reconciliation. Read on.
And had committed unto us.
Have committed unto us.
The word of reconciliation.
Brother, I love that. The words of reconciliation. Mr. Mitchell, explain to me what that means. Words of reconciliation. That is the gospel. When you hear the gospel, you are hearing God. Letter. Words of appeal to you to come back to him. The gospel, the word gospel means good news. It means the good news of God sending Jesus Christ at Calvary to pay the price for your sin. This morning when the brother came in, that Christ went to Calvary. Even if you had given your life to die for your sin, you don't have what it takes to pay for your sin. So if you die a million times on a million cross, you would still come off that cross a sinner. Only Jesus Christ had what it takes. So God was in Christ, bringing the world back to him. Read on, brother.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ.
The apostle says we. That is the apostles. and to a little different extent, preachers. It's like we are representative of God, of Christ. Watch here.
As though God did beseech you.
As though God is speaking to you through us. That is the message we are bringing you today. If it is a true message from God's word, watch here, that's why we have it read. To make you understand that it's not just what I imagined or dreamt last night. It's from God's word. As though God did beseech you.
By us.
By us.
We.
That is, it's like the Almighty God is speaking to you through the message that I am bringing you. What message is he bringing?
We pray you in Christ stead.
Wait, that's what God is saying, you know. That's what I like that. We beg you.
In Christ's stead.
We are representative of Christ.
Be reconciled to God.
Say that again.
Be reconciled to God.
Say that again.
Be ye reconciled to God.
Come back to God. Your sin has separated you from him. And that's why there can be no walking with you. Talk about, let me know God is with me. God doesn't know that. And if God doesn't know that, you are telling yourself a lie. Because there can be no reconciliation if you do not come to Jesus Christ in faith, repentance, confession of Christ's name, and baptism for the removal of sin. We pray you in Christ's name.
Be ye reconciled to God.
Be you reconciled to God. Isn't that wonderful? That God is begging us to come back to him. Give me a few more minutes to say a few more words and the lesson will be yours. May I? So, to walk with God, sin has to be dealt with. This will condition a reconciliation. There can be no reconciliation if sin is not dealt with. But here's one more thing. Time, Chuck. There must not only be reconciliation, there must be agreement and consensus. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? Walking, the walk with God must be in the path marked and mapped out by Jesus Christ. The walk must be in the path that is marked by Jesus Christ, and it is mapped out by Jesus Christ. Notice Romans chapter 6, verse 5.
For.
Watch here now. There's a little word I'm going to ask you to what? Wait. Get this up. I'm just wanting to make sure that you keep in mind the statement that I've made before. That if you or I, if we're going to walk with Christ as we go through this life, and we need to have that walk. If you are going to stand before God, right, justified on the day of judgment, judgment can be tomorrow. It can be today. If we are going to stand right with God, we need to begin to walk with God now in this life. What I am saying is that when we read of Enoch walking with God, it implies that there must have been reconciliation coming first, that is coming to God to have sin. second point hoping I close with, the other point I close with this, that the word must be in the path, the roadway that is not only marked out by Christ, but it is marked out by Christ. It was for that, it was on that principle. But I ask that we go to the passage of Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. And there is a little word here I'm going to want you to notice. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. Let us hear it.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Wait. Read it again.
For if we have been planted.
For.
If we have been planted.
For.
If.
For.
If.
For.
If.
You see this word? If. It's a conditional word. Notice. For if we have been planted.
Together in the likeness of his death, we shall be.
Notice the word likeness. What the passage is teaching, Jesus Christ of walk a path. We must spiritually walk that path. That's why conditional word, if. What this is implying. Only for if we have been planted in the
likeness of his death.
Only if you and I have been planted in the likeness of his
death.
Only then can we have fellowship with him. That's why if. Notice the word likeness. What Christ did, you must do something like it. You know what the passages talk about? Faith, repentance, and baptism. Brother Mitchell, say it the right way, no? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's what the passage, in fact, that was verse what? Verse
5.
5. Look at verse 6.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed.
Wait. Verse 4 rather. You have read verse 5 a while ago.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism.
What?
By baptism.
We are buried with Christ. Wait. Notice word line. We. It's a solidarity with Christ. It's a oneness with Christ. It's a union with Christ. Notice word like, with likeness. All these words are telling us that Jesus Christ has marked out a particular path. Huh? We must travel that path. That's why you have word like we. Solidarity. Likeness. There must be a concurrence. So when we talk about walking with Christ, I've said it must be the path marked out or mapped out by Jesus Christ. The passage of Romans is telling us that. May I? So much to say, but I will not get back to this lesson. Brothers and sisters, there has been and there are millions of religious men and women that day by day, they recognize that they need to have fellowship with God. But here is what they do. They have some religious ideas that they like. They have some religious belief that they like. They have not studied the Bible thoroughly enough to understand that those religious beliefs and ideas are nowhere in the Bible.
Amen.
But you know what? They go and join themselves up with a man-made church. and they spend the rest of their life trying to make what they have in their mind the Word of God. In other words, they spend 10, 20, 40, 50, 60 years in a man-made denomination trying to make what they want in religion, what they like, be the Word of God, when the Word of God knows we're support. For example, I believe it's Sister Mitchell was sharing with me, our daughter Chrissy was showing a video here, this preacher. There are so many things on the internet now. You know, not these people, you say a certain word and the lady just fall down. And after when you say a few words and the lady, another lady just fall down. And you know what? Out of ignorance, blind ignorance, these people are telling themselves it's the Holy Spirit. They have not read that God, Holy Spirit, no will ever make people act like that. The Holy Spirit says, let all things be done decently and in honor. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32, 33. It says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. But these people will spend all of their life thinking the Holy Spirit is something that throws them down on the dirt. Maybe you find a way in the bench. And look here, they spend all of their lives and they will twist God's word. May I? If you are going to follow Jesus Christ, you must realize that it is not in you to create or make your own road to eternity. Jeremiah 23 verse 10 says, I was about to quote it, but read it. Let people know it's there. Jeremiah 23, 10.
For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing.
Jeremiah 23, 10?
Yes.
10, 23 then. Just turn it around.
O Lord.
Oh Lord,
I know that the way of man is...
Wait, you notice, brother, Jeremiah didn't say, I think. He said, I know that the ways of man...
is not in himself.
It is not in man.
It is not in man
that walketh
to direct his steps.
Everybody hear that? Morally and spiritually, we need God to direct us. We cannot come to Christ, to Christianity, with a determination that we are going to have it our way. As is often illustrated, when you and I go to buy an hamburger, we can tell them we want ketchup on it, and we want mayonnaise, or we do not want that. You have it your way. Eh? Coming to Jesus Christ, you'll have to take it Christ's way.
Amen.
Oh Lord, I know that the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Another passage that is relevant, we will not read. When the Almighty God says that my ways are not your ways, he said, as high as the heaven is from the earth, so are my thoughts. different from yours. We must come to God with the desire to walk in the path that Jesus Christ has outlined in the gospel. That's the only way we can walk with him. We'll have to stop the lesson now, even though there are some more things to share. I didn't even get to point out that the walk must be by faith. Yes, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. The Bible tells us that by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. If we are going to walk with God, it must be by believing in God's existence, believing in God's word, believing in God's directives, and believing in God's condition. As we close, the condition set for the forgiveness of your sin is faith in Jesus Christ. That is, after you first acknowledge and accept the reality, the truth, that you are a sinner needing God's forgiveness. That forgiveness is possible only in Jesus Christ. And Jesus' condition is that you believe in him, you repent of your sins, you confess faith in him, you get baptized for the removal of sin, but you must get baptized with a resolve or a resolution that you are going to follow Jesus Christ, his teaching, from that moment onward. If you are here today as a wise man or a wise woman, because it takes wisdom to help us understand that we need God. So if you are here today and you are wise, knowing that Christ wants you to come back to God, then come now. Come to speak to us about anything you do not understand. If I said something today that was not fully understood, was not clear as we wanted, we are willing to sit and talk with you. But if you understood what was said, recognizing that you need to be forgiven because sin is what separates you from God, irrespective of how you feel, sin separates from God. Only when you obey Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism can your sins be dealt with by God. You can step forward. If you're a child of God who have grown weak, backslide, drifting away, you can come and recommit your life to Jesus Christ as we stand and sing.
Psalm number 367.
Psalm number 367. 367 is a psalm that will be sung. As we appeal to you to respond to the love, the grace, and the mercy of the Almighty God,